Chapter 57. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Lumber District. Major Ispira stood wiping the blade of his sword on a white cloth as his men prepared to burn the wealth of this overstuffed den of rats to ashes. Gauntlet fire howled around him from nearly every direction as his men held the perimeter against the Albion citizens and odd guardsmen who had realized that battle was upon them. There were thousands of Albions in this rat maze of a Habel, and the fight at the temple, brief as it had been intense. His force had been brought down to a total of fewer than 350 men. There would be even fewer after they fought their way out of the lumber district, but the more quickly they moved, the fewer he would lose. Though his men were outnumbered incalculably by the locals, his marines were organized and moving together, not reacting in a confused herd. The most difficult and dangerous part of the mission, the wait, was over. Now it was all straightforward knife work, and no one knew fighting like his marines. He stood in the middle of a street of shops, trying to ignore the presence of the Cavendish creature and her pet monster. Sark loomed near her, always near her, his presence a silent and constant threat. The warrior-born man was wounded and dripping blood, but moved as if he had not noticed that his forearms and belly looked like so much shredded and bloody meat beneath his tattered clothing. The woman clutched a book, the one book they had removed from the great library, open to one of its early pages, her finger tracing the lines, her eyes intent as she read, as if she stood in a reading room and not a combat area with the cries of the wounded and dying all around her.
"Sergeant!" he called. "How long?" "Setting the fuses now, sir,"
Siriaco replied. Ispira nodded and continued wiping the blade of his sword, though he knew on a rational level that he'd cleaned the blood from it long since. It gave him something to do besides wait for the proper time to give the next order. And besides, he liked having a weapon in hand when Cavendish and Sark were so near. The corpse of the young man who had blundered into Ispira and surprised him, probably a carpenter's apprentice, lay inside one of the shops nearby. The boy had been no older than 14 years, and probably younger. Sheer chance that he'd started up from a sleeping pallet on the floor behind a counter just as Ispira had walked past in the gloom. After that, it had all been reflexes, and a gurgling scream that Ispira knew he would not be able to wipe away. Now the boy's body was covered in sawdust, and awaiting the fire that would take the guts out of the busiest economy in Spire Albion. The charges were being set in small kegs, piled with sawdust from the leavings of the mills and carpenters and woodcarvers who worked this district of Habel Landing. They weren't standard demolition powder kegs, but incendiaries. A hellish mixture of fire oil, fire powder, and sticky jelly that would explode and then cling to anything it touched, burning fiercely. They were most often used to set fire to airships in close engagements, and Ispira had seen their vicious efficiency at destruction with his own eyes.
"What do you think, Sergeant?" he asked. "Did the engineers get it right?" "Sun's about to come up," Siriaco replied, nodding. "Warm up the east side of the tower, which will draw the air and send the fire spreading toward it, just like a chimney, but sideways. Once it starts hitting those supports, that second level of theirs will collapse right down into this one. The Albions'll be too busy to pay us any attention at all."
A marine corporal came running up and spoke briefly to Siriaco.
"Major,"
the sergeant reported.
"Charges set. Fuses ready at 60 seconds.
Ispira tried not to think about the men, women, and children he was about to condemn to death by fire and asphyxiation. This area was the heart of Landing's economy, a viable target of war, and if the Albions had ignored the wisdom of the great builders with regard to flammable construction within a Habel, that could hardly be blamed upon Spire Aurora. Ispira looked around at the wooden buildings, the wooden walkways, the wooden supports and beams representing more wealth than any dozen Habbles of his home spire. Their greed and vanity were their weakness and would be their undoing. He was simply lighting a match. "Order the men to form up and begin moving out by squads," he told the sergeant. "Advance party to fire freely and clear the way. Standard firing rotation." Ciriaco had known what orders would come next. He nodded and started bawling them out even as Espira gave them. Then he moved out to oversee the withdrawal. Explosions began, small and scattered, as the Marines commenced throwing ceramic grenades packed with gunpowder and sulphurous ash to cover their escape with vicious shrapnel and clouds of thick, choking smoke.
"Madame Cavendish," Espira said, keeping his tone calm and civil. "Excuse me, please."
Her eyes snapped from the page up to his, coldly furious, and one of her eyes twitched in a steady rhythm. She stood stiffly, clearly in pain, and a tear and a modest stain of blood on the bodice of her dress suggested a wound sustained when she and Sark had stayed behind to deal with the group of Albions who had attacked them. Espira swallowed and kept his expression neutral and pleasant. "Please pardon my interruption," he said, "but we are ready to withdraw to the ship, and this area will soon be on fire. For your own safety, I must ask you to accompany us at this time." Cavendish closed her eyes for a brief moment, and when she opened them again, her own expression had been schooled into something blandly pleasant.
"Of course, Colonel."
"I beg your pardon, ma'am," Espira said, "but I am a major."
She smiled, her teeth showing as she carefully closed the cover of the book and worked the latch that locked it shut.
"Not after today, Renaldo Espira,"
she purred.
"Not after today. Sark?"
Cavendish turned on a heel and began marching calmly down the street as though she were running an everyday errand. Sark moved with her, maintaining a precise distance behind her and to one side, his crooked gaze scanning steadily. Espira let out a small breath of relief to see them go. He looked forward to the day when he did not have to deal with those creatures. Even more than he looked forward to the golden insignia that would come with his new rank when he returned home to Spire Aurora. Assuming he returned home. There was plenty of time yet to be killed. He put his sword away, mentally cringing at the act, though he knew rationally that the blade was perfectly clean and could be sheathed without issue. Then he pocketed the handkerchief, opened his box of matches, and waited for the last of his troops to retreat toward escape. Ciriaco, as agreed, was the last of the men to fall back, and he covered Espira with an upraised gauntlet as Espira knelt to the fuses. Then the Auroran commander struck a match.